What's up? Hello. Hola for our Spanish-speaking Hola. Listeners. Hola and welcome to Heights Unedited Podcast, a podcast featuring real conversations about real life where we dig deeper into the weekend message as well as answering your questions on faith, culture, and life. And I'm here with PJ.
No, it's not PJ.
It is still
it's
PJ.
It's not PJ. It's not.
It Let's started go. There. It's still there.
I was thinking about your intro. I think the best part about your intro... About our two line thing is the real life.
It's real life.
I think the unedited speaks to that. And so I was processing this week. I'm like, the unedited, I don't know, like all the podcasts I listen to are edited. I don't know any that just go, hey, we're going to turn it on and what it is, it is.
It's kind of scary.
It's a lot scary.
And there's only,
but it's real.
We've made it to episode 13 today. And to this day, we've only had one. Where we started in the beard, David forgot to press record.
The beard.
But other than that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been smooth.
But yeah, the real part stood out to me.
Yeah. Well, that's honestly the hope. I mean, hopefully people feel that with the questions and everything is like, man, this is real life. We're not trying to censor what is asked or what is answered. Like, this is real life. This is what people are asking. So that's what we're answering.
Yeah, and I think even though you do the subscription part well, like, hey, we need that, the goal of this isn't to make some crazy podcast.
Right.
Right. The goal is for our church family and people connected to our church family, how do we have real conversations?
Yeah, exactly. And I think for far too long, the church is answering questions that nobody's asking.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
or you want to answer the ones they are asking.
Or you're answering in a way that you can only do on a Sunday morning. Like, you can only go so far on a Sunday morning when you've got a room full of people and you've got a clock in the back, right? Like, there's only so far you can go.
You don't normally pay attention to the clock, though. So
not so much.
Not so much. All right.
Well, you got it nailed though.
I got it. I know. Well, this weekend you did say when Pastor Todd speaks, it's 30 minutes. When I speak, it's 35, which is also a lie because it's not just 35.
Sometimes.
All right.
Hey, I had communion this week. I'm going to claim that.
Okay. You can say what you want, but I do want to welcome everyone who is listening or watching. I do want to remind to subscribe, rate, review, for the purpose of letting people know what you think about how amazing we are. And if you don't think we're amazing, be honest about that too.
How
because
do you do
again,
that?
It's real conversations.
Is a subscribe
life.
Isn't just clicking the thumbs up.
You have
to go to the button that says subscribe.
It depends which platform you're using. If you're on YouTube, it's different than if you are on the podcast app or if you're on Spotify. Either way, you can follow or subscribe there. And then you can rate and review in those respective places, which I got to be totally honest, I had not read a lot of the comments that we were getting on YouTube. Because I'm an Apple podcast guy. I'm not a YouTube guy.
I'm same.
So David was like, hey, are you going to like respond to these people or like answer or acknowledge? And I'm like, what do you mean?
We've been asking.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking
and we're
about?
We're like ignoring them.
So
please write a review. We'll never.
I did find a review in the comments though, that I do want to read.
Okay.
This is a five star review on YouTube from Patty Benjamin 3349. And they say,
you ever wonder what the 3349?
Yeah, I did. I was like, wait, is this a birthday? Is this our PIN number? If we get their debit card, like we got access now. Like, what is this? I don't know.
What did Patty say?
Patty says, I absolutely love that you're doing these podcasts. Not only do you bring more clarity and wisdom to the past services messages, but the answers to the questions are real and beneficial to everyday questions and situations. Thank you,
Patty. You are so kind.
Appreciate.
We're glad it's beneficial.
Yeah, that's the hope, right? We're hoping it's not a waste of your time. But no, we have actually. I personally have been overwhelmed with the support that I've gotten from so many different people.
Same
at church, emails, just seeing me out in the wild and coming up, being like, hey. Podcast is awesome. So
that's cool.
I do appreciate the encouragement from everybody there. John, we've made it to episode 13, which is great. And we've made it. This is officially your second episode while being high.
Sort of. I'm not on any meds,
but you're in pain. So,
but I'm
counts.
In pain. So I would say,
you're high
I would say
pain.
That way it's high on pain.
Okay.
For sure. The pain level is high today.
Okay. So let me ask you then, yesterday, first message preaching with the cast and the pain. How are you doing today?
It hurts pretty bad. So you'll get this. Okay, if I put a lapel on, right, which is your over the ear, right? If I put an over the ear mic on, which everybody's like, why didn't you do that? Why are you holding your mic? Okay, what do I do with my arm?
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like, do I hold it on my chest the whole time? That's weird. Right. Like, now that's even more awkward. If I move it, it hurts. So like, if I use it like I normally would, it would hurt a lot. So I'm like, I'm either going to put myself in pain or be really awkward the whole time. So I'm like, I might as well give it a purpose and hold a mic. The problem is that created more pain.
Yeah.
So we're here without pain, without any Tylenol or whatever. And so we'll do that after, but.
All right. Well, you made it.
We made it a week, though. Tomorrow will be a week with the cast.
Okay.
So 7 more to go.
Still in pain, though. Still no progress
pain.
That way?
Still in pain. And it's still swollen.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, hopefully more healing in the coming weeks. Football. Let's talk football. We had a first week of playoffs this week.
It was so painful, man. The Steeler game.
Yeah. You guys, it was kind of what I thought would happen.
Okay. I get that. I get, like, they're a better team. I get that. But the first half doesn't make sense.
No.
21-0. It didn't even look like we wanted to play.
The second half was where the game really started, at least for the Steelers. Yeah. So it was.
And at that point, it's like you're too far behind, right?
And they were already gone.
It was like the opposite. Did you watch the Bronco game?
I did, yeah.
It was the opposite. Like, the Broncos showed up in the first half and disappeared in the second. And my buddy Jeff was texting me going, like, I feel like we don't deserve to be here.
Well, same thing with Eagles and Packers. Is Eagles scored their touchdown within 20 seconds. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a blowout. But the Packers actually made it a game. And, I mean, the Eagles were going to win. I knew that. Yeah. But they made it more of a close game. Yep. And then here we go, Commanders.
Who's your Super Bowl pick?
I want to see the Lions. I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I want to see the Lions because it's been so long. I think Dan Campbell's done a great job with the team. I want to see that.
Okay, so you got Lions on one side. Who's on the other?
I just don't want the Chiefs. I'm guessing it's going to be the Chiefs on the other side, but I just don't want it.
I told Jeff yesterday, I said his wife's a Chiefs fan. I said, if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, I am buying a jersey from the other team and wearing it that weekend.
Whatever they are, whoever they are, we don't even care. That's good. All right. Well, that's our dose of football for today. Right,
that's
we
it,
are huh? going to that's move it. On. We do have questions that are submitted, and so we're going to hop into those. The first question that was submitted, somebody wanted to know, and I got to give some clarification after I ask the question, but someone wanted to know, when is Lewis coming back to church? And if you don't know who that is John's dog, which John loving to do his creative sermon analogies and just, I don't know, just the crazy stuff he does. He preached an entire sermon with his dog on stage with him one time. And
he sat there.
He was a hit. Everyone loved him so much. So that's where this question comes from. When is he coming back to church?
I don't know. I'd love to bring him every weekend. Just have him hang out with me. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. He'll make an appearance. Okay, super sad. You know when, like, you ever seen an old dog? And you're like, you can just tell they're old, right? So Lewis isn't that old, but bulldogs don't live as long as other dogs. But he's starting to have that, like, he gets off his chair now and, like, his shoulder's bugging him. So he's got a limp that goes with it. Like, his paws kind of have that. Oh, you're turning into an old dog. So there's, like, this sadness piece to it. But he would love to come back to church. So we'll have to make it happen.
Yeah, it was when you told us in sermon prep that week, hey, I'm thinking about bringing him. I'm like, you're wild. Why? What makes you think he's going to do great? And he was awesome the whole time.
He just hangs out.
Hung out.
Yeah.
On the stage with thousands of people staring at him.
It's interesting. I don't know if anybody knows this, but so, like, when you put his harness on, he just becomes more subdued. I don't know why. And so we had his harness on that day. And so he was still, like, making the choice to be there, but he's just not as active as he could have been.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm super excited about how he did. We're walking to the car. I'm like, you're so good, buddy. Like, and I take his harness off because it's just, at that point, it's just my car and the thing, right? And dude, he takes off.
No
and
way.
And he's like sniffing the bushes. I'm like yelling at him. He will not come back.
He's all, listen, you paraded me on stage for the last 5 hours of my life.
He was done. He's like, I am not coming. Trying to get him in the car. I had to pick him up and put him in. Like he wouldn't jump in. I'm like, okay, I get it. You're done.
That's so funny. He's like, I played your game. Now you play mine.
Yeah. He's like, I'm having none of it.
So, I love that. All right. Well, hopefully he gets to come back, make an appearance.
We'll get him back.
Okay. Sounds good. I like that. And that will make the people happy. We did get another question on a little more on the serious side here.
Okay.
We're going to hop in. Cherie asks this. She says in Isaiah 43:25, God says he blots out our sin and remembers them no more. But in Matthew 12:36, it says that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment. And it's also mentioned again in Romans. So which is it? Does he blot everything out or are we going to give an account?
Don't you love it when the Bible sounds confusing?
Right. You're like, you just said one thing. Yeah. Now you're going to hit me with something that feels different. But there's always, you got to dig a little deeper to understand what's going
on. Yeah. I think what's interesting, Cherie, is the way your question's worded. So it says God blots out our sin. But there's a context that that's being talked into, right? Like in the context, yes, we can pull it forward, but first you've got to deal with it in the context that we find it. Mm-hmm. And so Isaiah 43, what's interesting with Isaiah 43 is it's written very specifically to the nation of Israel. And it's written about the history of the nation of Israel. And God kind of gets this point of frustration, like he's told them all this good, all this, and yet they're still rebellious. Mm. And instead of God being like, okay, so I am going to wipe you out and I am done with you, this is a point forward to, hey, I'm not going to hold this against you. I'm not going to hold your sins against you. I'm not going to hold your I'm not going to hold your rebellion. That word transgressions is connected to their rebellion. Like another translation said, your rebellious acts.
Okay.
And so the fact that they weren't giving the sacrifices that were due. So in that context, it's speaking specifically to the nation of Israel. And what it's pointing forward to is Jesus, right? That in Jesus, I'm going to wipe all of that out. So all of your rebellion, all of your will be, I won't remember it anymore. So that's a context, right, for that. That's nation of Israel.
Right. So the prophet Isaiah, that's where we get the prophecies about Jesus' birth. We get a lot of those things that are coming through there. And so it's him again saying, hey, this is coming where your sin will be blotted out. And
Okay. Yeah. For God to, and we know this consistently through the story, right? For God to blot out sin, remember sin no more, like there had to be a payment. And so that payment, and we know from the sacrificial system, it wasn't in the sacrificial system. It had to be through the sacrifice of Jesus. So within that, because we know the rest of the story, we're looking ahead to, oh, that's going to happen in the Messiah, right? Mm-hmm. And then interesting, again, you get to Matthew 12, and the context there is the Pharisees have showed up to Jesus. They're actually calling him the son of the devil. Right? Like because of the healing he's been doing.
Right.
And so within that, then Jesus goes on I don't know how many verses it is, but it's quite the rant. And some of it would sound familiar, right? Like, you know, if you've got a tree, you tell a tree by its fruit. A good tree bears good fruit, bad tree bears bad fruit. Mm-hmm. Well, then it talks about this day of judgment where the words, empty words, will be accounted for. Well, what were the empty words? What has Jesus been driving the whole time? It's them showing up and going, you're a son of the devil, not the son of God.
Yeah.
Right? So it's this opposed. It's not even unbelief. It's this, I'm an enemy against who you are, right? And so I think even within that context, right, it's talking about judgment, but we often like, that's where we've got to separate out, well, what judgment is this talking about? For me, that judgment would be, that's not the great white throne, or that's not the judgment seat of Christ, that's the great white throne, right? Like where unbelievers and believers are being judged, and you're judged by did you believe or didn't you?
Right.
Were you an enemy of God, like we talked about last week? So I think that's where that one's interesting is it sounds like they're contradicting, but the context helps us understand what's being drawn out.
Right. So in Matthew, Jesus is talking specifically to these Pharisees and these religious leaders mm-hmm. about the charge that they're bringing. Is this where they said, you're driving out demons with the power of the prince of demons or
yeah.
whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't even make sense. When yeah. they say that, I'm like, how Beelzebul crazy are
or something
you?
Like that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like, does that even make logical sense that you would drive out demons if you were the prince of demons? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, wouldn't you want to keep them around?
You're working
like,
against yourself.
Yeah. But that's what they threw out.
How's that
him.
Working for you?
Yeah. So I don't know if this is, but yeah. you know, that,
yeah, that's the same.
It's following that vein of their accusation.
That's how it starts. And then he goes into, and that's where he gets into the good fruit, good tree, bad fruit, bad.
Yeah.
And then he gets into the words and says, you know, your heart is known by your mouth. So if my heart is the seat of emotions, my heart is the seat of belief, so to speak, the center of who I am, then my mouth is revealing what's at the center. And so for these guys, what was being revealed was, hey, you're not on,
yeah.
you're not on my side.
So I think it's safe to say that the answer to this question is yes. And you are going to stand before, you know, to give an account.
Yep.
However, Jesus, if the answer to what you've done in your life is yes, I put my faith and trust in Jesus, then when you stand there to give an account, your account will be Jesus blotted out all my sins
yep.
and remembers them no more.
Yeah. I think I mentioned that this weekend in one of the services, the idea of it actually comes from a tribal group where they got the gospel. And so a church was planted or established, and somebody from the outside came in and was talking to one of the new believers. And he asked them the question like, well, if you stood before God today and God said, why should I let you into my heaven? He said that the tribal person said, I would crack the door open a little further so that you could see Jesus and I go because of him.
Mm.
And I just think in this context, the conversation about sin and my sin was paid for on the cross. So when you get to the great white throne, it's because of Jesus, right?
Right.
Well, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, it's now, hey, what did you do with this life?
Yeah.
Like, how did you use the talents? And that even ties into the weekend. Like,
right.
I gave you all this stuff. What did you do with it for the kingdom?
Right? Yeah, that's so good.
So it's not sin at that point. It's literally like, hey, I want to reward you. And so it's just a different judgment conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's referenced throughout scripture as well, even when it comes to people like you and I who stand on stage, a teacher,
oh,
who will
man.
Be judged more harshly oh, by what we've taught, which scares the
it's
heck out
terrifying.
Of me. Scares the heck
terrifying.
Out of me. Because not only do I not know what that means, but I'm like, I'm pretty dumb. Like,
I you know who I am.
Well, Sheree, hopefully that answers your question. We do want to hop into what we discussed this weekend. I can't wait to continue this conversation taking shape. We're only in week two. It has been so good to yep. nail down on what it is we as a church stand for, what yeah. we're all about.
Isn't it amazing to even just have, this is who we are.
It's so good. And I think what makes it so awesome is it fires me up. It fires you up.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, because if this is what we're supposed to be pushing forward, we know we're yeah. in the right place.
Yeah.
Because it makes
me
excited.
Versus standing there going, well, we are for the Holy Spirit. Let me read you a paragraph on what that means.
Right. Or even afterwards yeah. being like, I don't know. I told him yesterday, I don't really want to talk about it today.
Yeah.
Or now we both are showing up like, man, let's dive yep. into this because this is so exciting. And
yep.
I think part of the excitement for me is this discovery of the Holy Spirit for me has been something that has come about after I was raised in the church, because I was raised in a tradition where the Holy Spirit was somewhat of the silent member of the Trinity.
Yeah.
You only even talked about him when you baptized people. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But other than that, it's like, we know God's role. We know Jesus' role.
And we only do that because Jesus said we had to.
Right. And that's because yeah. that's what he did. But Jesus did it, so we do it.
Yeah.
And we don't know what it means. But the Holy Spirit was something that I guess I would, you know, if you asked me, who's in the Trinity, I could say him, but I knew nothing about
him. Why do you think that was?
I think it's kind of scary. I think we can't control it, right?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit in itself is wild and crazy
yeah.
and uncontrollable. And I think that the tradition that I was raised in was very much like, here is your clean cut God in a box.
Yeah.
So much so that we wouldn't even deal with real life issues.
Yeah.
This conversation wouldn't exist because we didn't have real conversations. We had fake conversations
yeah.
that made everything look great on the outside. And I think you can't have a safe fake conversation about the Holy Spirit because it's so unique and different.
And you think that, like, I hadn't thought about this. You're against language from week one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think that's from people looking at the church and seeing people who are leaning into the Holy Spirit, and maybe it is a little wild and crazy and out of control? And so do you think it's, oh, we're against that, but we don't actually know what we're for?
Right. Yeah, I think that's totally what it is. It's like, man, we're against, there is traditions where people are so thinking that they're into the Holy Spirit, where they're handling snakes. And right. You know, the Bible says you'll handle snakes.
We have one of those churches near us in Missouri.
Yeah, well, I think there's things like that that people tried to push away from and ended up being a tradition where the Holy Spirit really is just not known. So I think if someone is like me, growing up in a tradition where it's like, okay, this is new ground for me to even talk about it, how would you summarize, like, quickly review, what is the role of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I think, man, it's a huge question. I think for me,
I know, try to simplify.
I come from the same tradition, right? So for me, I feel like it's been a transformation of even my belief. I think it started with, we were chatting off camera, but I think it started, or not started with, but continued the conversation when Francis Chan wrote the book Forgotten God. And he was writing into the same experience that you're just talking about of, man, I'm a part of a church where the Holy Spirit is a silent partner. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you talk about the role of the Holy Spirit, I think from the weekend specifically, like, he is to empower us, right? Like, and you've got to put it in context, because what's he empowering us for? Well, back to the mission that you talked about the week before, right? Like, anytime the Holy Spirit's talked about in power, it has to do with empowering the disciples to be the witnesses that they were called to. Well, then you look at the words of Jesus. Jesus talks specifically about, like, okay, well, when the advocate comes, right? So an advocate is one who speaks for, mm-hmm. right? So when he shows up and he speaks on behalf of, when he advocates for me, when he's my voice, when I don't have a voice, well, then it's in the realm of comfort. It's in the realm of guiding, right? He's going to lead us forward. He's going to move us forward. And then you get to later as the, you know, Paul begins to write and he's seen what's happening. It's one of my favorite, I didn't get to it this weekend. One of my favorite moments in the early church is, there's two of them. One is in Acts 15, where they've made this monumental decision. And now, it's about grace and what they're going to hold the Gentiles to.
Right.
And they send this letter to be read at all the churches. And it literally goes, and it sounded good to us and the Holy Spirit. Right. Right? and so it's this really practical, like, they were learning, what does it look like to mm-hmm. walk? And what you find is that there was these moments where there was decision-making. Then you find Paul later going, hey, I believe this, but if some point God leads you differently, that's okay. Right? Like, there's this freedom that the Holy Spirit's going to keep transforming our theology and keep moving us forward to understand God better. And so then you get to Galatians, where there, you know, there's this deep understanding at that point. Romans 8 would be similar, where, man, I'm so frustrated with my old humanity. Mm-hmm. Well, the way to not walk in your old humanity is to walk in the Spirit. And so now the power for transformation is found in reliance upon the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so if you never, I mean, put it back in the context, right? If you're never taught to walk with the Holy Spirit, well, now you're just back to the law.
Yeah.
And you're just back to these do's and don'ts.
Yeah. I think the follow-up question on that is, you know, before we get into it, I want to share a little bit about how the Holy Spirit, and like how I do this. But the question is, like, so how do we personally lean into the Holy Spirit then, mm-hmm. like for each one of us? And what I would say for me, the main three areas, and I'm not limiting to these because I sound like I could be exactly like what I described earlier. Let me put them in the box, you know. And that's not what I mean, but I think the three areas that I see Holy Spirit doing this in a practical way in my life is when I'm writing or speaking. So when I'm writing a message, there are so many times that, like, I get to the end of it going, I don't even know where that came from.
Yeah.
Whether it's phrasing or whether it's an outline, whether it's an idea about the message, any of those things, the Holy Spirit guides me so much when it comes to writing, crafting a message. And then you mentioned it in your message yesterday. So many times people will come up to me afterwards and go, hey, you said this thing, and I either don't remember saying it, or I'm like, yeah, that wasn't in my notes at all.
Yeah.
And it, you know, the Holy Spirit moves. Did you ever have a moment
on stage where you're like, I wish I could write that down right now. I'm not going to remember it later.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. I'm like, this is the only service this is getting set at, because yeah, I don't even know what I just said. But so that's a big one for me. The other is, you know, the nature of our job of being pastors, there's a lot of tough conversations that yep, have to be had. Yep. And so just invoking the power of the Holy Spirit in those situations, I'll be yep, walking into either a meeting or a one-on-one or a situation where I'm going into someone's home or meeting with somebody who's dealt yep, with loss or yep, something difficult, where I'm like, Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to give me the words to say, because yep, I don't know what to say right now. Or even in a conversation you'd mentioned yep, when it comes to telling someone about Jesus, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I've been in places like that so many times where I'm just like, take over my mouth, cause I ain't got nothing.
Yep.
And yep, you know, Holy Spirit shows up there. The other one, just real quick for me, is before I start reading God's word every morning, I go, Holy Spirit, you discern what's going on in this and show me something new.
Yeah.
And
so good.
I will say, I've spent my life reading the word of God. It wasn't until a couple of years ago when I intentionally was like, Holy Spirit, reveal something to me.
Yeah.
That I started seeing things come alive that I'd read 100 times in a new way.
Yeah.
And that's where I know I'm like, it's not a hope and a wish that the Holy Spirit is there and cross my fingers, maybe. It's yeah, like, no, I see the power of the Holy Spirit in those moments. So yeah, practically speaking, for me, that's what it looks like. What would you say for people to personally lean into the Holy Spirit? What do you think it looks like for them?
Yeah, I think just piggybacking off of what you said with your first one, this weekend's a prime example. I got a text Thursday from Joanne, who is a worship leader at the church, if you don't know Joanne, and she oversees our weekends. And she goes, hey, I forgot to ask you for the communion verse. Communion wasn't even on my radar. Mm. The passages were, I knew where I was going for the different parts. And what's stunning to me is it's as if there's this voice inside. It's not audible, but it goes, look at the Lord's Supper. Mm. I already gave you a verse that's in it. Now go look at it. And what I found in there is all three of the values were in the yeah, end of that story. And I go, God, you're already so far out ahead, you know? And so it's those kind of moments where I can't tell you that it was audible. I can just tell you that my spirit was sensitive enough. And I hope that's as, you know, however that continues to develop for the rest of my life, to be able to go, there's a nudge from the Holy Spirit. I need to be obedient to go look at it. Because there's still a choice, right? The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything. And so there's still a choice of going, okay, you've given me this insight. You've given me this nudge. You've given me this, even if that's a nudge towards somebody, I've got to be obedient to go walk that out.
Right.
And there are times where for me, on a practical sense, I'll ask God, God, would you give me a divine appointment today, right? Would you give me a moment with somebody somewhere that's just from you? But would you also make me faithful to take it? Because there's so many times, like I'm in the moment and I know I should, and I don't, right, and I leave and I go, why'd you punk out? Like, what is wrong with you, right? Like, and now I'm walking back to my car having yeah, this. And then it gets back into repentance, confession, and all of that, right? Like, Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't step forward.
Right.
Like, please be faithful to continue to give me more.
Yeah.
And so I think, to your, I don't remember how you phrased it, but personally leaning in, I think initially it has to be structured. I think initially we have to go, okay, there's intentional times where during my day, I'm slowing down to go, hey, Holy Spirit. So an example would be from the weekend meetings. We're intentional with our meetings, right? Before we jumped on here, David, the beard, prayed for us, right? Like, that's intentional. Because we don't know where God wants to take this, and we don't want to lead it. We want him to. So I think there's a structure to it, but I think what happens the more you walk with the Holy Spirit, the less structure you need, because it's just on your mind. And so there's moments like this morning, I'm filling a water bottle and I can feel myself getting impatient. And I just deep breath it, right? And in those deep breaths, I'm reminded of the Holy Spirit. And so in that moment, then I'm like, Holy Spirit, I don't want to be the person that's impatient filling a water bottle. And so to me, it becomes very practical. It becomes moments where I'm reminded and the Holy Spirit's reminding me of who God's transforming me to be.
Yeah, that's good. I think, I don't know the exact date, it might've been 2 years ago that we did It's been a whole couple of weeks, three or uh-huh. 4 weeks on the Holy Spirit specifically. Yeah. And one of the things that kept coming up in the messages that you gave was just in that starting your day with inviting yeah. the Holy Spirit in.
Yeah.
And I think that's a way that we can be conscious of the Holy Spirit and not allow him to continue to be the silent member of the Trinity of like, yeah. God, I'm for you, Jesus, I'm for you. And oh yeah, the Holy Spirit too. I want to invite you into my day. Yeah. I want to give you permission. I want to like start by saying, Holy Spirit, empower me. And then just yeah. see what happens. Like yep. there is no, yeah. you know, script after that, but like doing something specifically to acknowledge the Holy Spirit and allowing him in your life, I think is a good starting point.
Yeah. Well, and you got kids, right? So what do we do with kids when they get angry? Right. We're like, okay, calm down, breathe. Right. Or count to 10.
I don't know. When my kids get angry, I'm like, get in your room right now before
I get angry. Yeah. but I think there's even some of that where we do it when we're trying to teach somebody else, we do it. But even just that process of like, hey, I'm going to overreact right now. I'm going to slow down for a minute. And I know slow down is I'm going to let the Holy Spirit have a moment, right?
Yeah.
Or it's conversation later. Like I completely blew it in whatever moment. I'm going to have a conversation with the Holy Spirit on my way home and let him yeah. nudge me, convict me, lead me. And a lot of times that looks like, hey, I need to text somebody and apologize, or I need to call somebody, or whatever it looks like in that sense. And so I just think it's, for me, it's super practical, right? He wants to empower. He wants to guide. He wants to lead.
Yeah.
And he wants you to not be controlled by who you were before you met him.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I am so glad and grateful that I'm part of a church that is for the Holy Spirit.
Me too.
We also talked about a couple others. One is for generosity. And we talk about that weekly when it comes to our finances. Every yeah. single service or gathering that you're a part of at Heights, we're going to talk about we are for generosity. So here's a way that you can participate financially. And I think that's the main thing we think about. But yep. you gave a list of everything we've been given from God as an opportunity to be generous.
Yeah.
So you listed finances, which is the easy one. You listed our talents, our time. We know yep. how to do it with our time. We know how yep. to do it with our finances. What does it look like to be generous with our talents?
Yeah. It's a good question because the language was intentional this weekend, hopefully it always is, but we didn't just say gifts, right? Because mm-hmm. when we say gifts, then everybody goes, oh, that's my spiritual life, right? That's what I was given. What you also have talents, just raw talents that are unique to you, mm-hmm. right? Like, and so if I look at you, baseball would be one that I go, it's a raw talent God gave you. And as an athlete, that's the lane that you're in. But to watch you use that talent, mm-hmm. So many people, and I don't know how many people know this, but so many people have come to church because of you using your talent mm-hmm. in baseball. So much so that there's normally a full row at the 11 of guys that are influenced by you, right? And so to me, that's a picture of, hey, I got this talent and I don't want to over-spiritualize it and say that, oh, well, God's gifted me. Well, he may have gifted you as an athlete, but you've uniquely crafted that talent, right? And I see another one, Caleb, who is one of the worship leaders at the church, gives guitar lessons to my daughter, right? Like that's just him using a talent to invest into another person. And so I think it's looking at, you know, if I think about the beard, right? Like God has gifted him beautifully with how things look, right? Like always challenging what's the best way to represent this. Mm-hmm. And I've watched him help people grow businesses with that, right? Like that's, and those businesses aren't unique to, you know, any connection to the church. They are just people that are going, hey, God's put me in this situation to do this. And so I think when it comes to talents, we've got to separate from gifts and go, what is it that I've uniquely got?
Right.
And how do I use that? I would say for Cindy, she's like a baby whisperer, man. Like that toddler age, like whatever God did with Cindy, my wife, like she has got it. And I've watched her pour out into so many moms over the years, where it's just a talent she has, right?
Yeah.
Like we're not going to over-spiritualize it and say it's some spiritual gift that she's got that other people didn't. No, she's just got a talent with little kids.
Yeah.
And she uses it. And I think, you know, you go into, I think so often we want to pull every resource into the church. And yes, the church should be resourced. But God made us to go out. And where we get to take those talents and use them, like baseball is a great example, right? we put those into a context. I coached for years in club soccer. I'm with families that don't know Jesus.
Right.
I'm at tournaments where I can be the only person that goes to a ref and gives a positive word because the parents want to kill him.
Right.
Right. Like it's those kind of moments where I go, I'm only here because of my talent. What am I going to do now I'm here?
Yeah. Yeah. I think of my dad with this one. My dad is construction, mechanic, anything that has to do with building or putting something together or, you know, helping fix something he can do.
Yep.
And my whole life, it was like, well, I got to go help this person. I got to go do this.
That's
I
awesome.
Do that. And I'm like, well, why? Like,
yeah.
They're not paying you. Well, yeah, but because he's generous with his talent.
Yeah.
And his talent isn't something, you know, it doesn't fit in the box of church.
Yep.
You're not going to fix something on stage, right? Like, but for him, that was, this is what God has given me, and I'm going to be generous with it, which means I'm going to help people.
Yep. And that's the key word, right? Generous is, I have it. How do I give it away?
Yep.
Right? Like, how do I benefit others with it? There's a moment, hopefully I'm okay to, we're unedited, so I'm going to share it. So here we go. It's been fun to watch my daughter who's in California, to watch her mother-in-law, right when they first got married, they did like a young married group where they would meal prep. And so it was like Monday, the guys would come over, they'd come over as couples and inevitably the guys would end up with football on at some point. But they meal prepped together. And what she was actually doing was teaching them how to make meals without saying, hey, come on over and I'll teach you how to do this.
Right.
But just out of generosity, she used a skill she's gained along the way. And she goes, okay, how do I pour into these young wives? And so I was like, man, this is one of the coolest ideas that I've heard.
That's awesome. That's super cool. Yeah. I think anytime we can think about what everything in our life is an opportunity to be generous. So think about what is it that we can give away? How can we help? And it doesn't have to be just financial. I think that's one of the burdens that, that I have when it comes to the church is we put so many things into a box. I grew up in a context where we didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so anytime the word generosity or giving came up, it was like, well, that's not me because we don't have that to give. Well, no, it definitely was me. It was just in different ways. Yeah. And we always have a way, regardless of our financial situation, to be able to be generous with what God has given us. Yep. I think that leads into the next thing that we talked about this weekend that we said we are for, is we are for serving. And we talk about that a lot at Heights. But I think the question anytime we talk about for serving comes up is like, but Heights is a really big church. Like, there's a lot of people here. Do you actually need me to serve? It looks like you got it covered. Do you need me to serve? Is there actually a place for me to serve?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, what percentage do you think serve at Heights?
I think it's a lot less than what people think because you show up and you see a lot of people. I don't know if I would want to take a stab at the percentage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know percentage, but I would put it in the same thing.
Yeah. I would say we have a small percentage doing a large percentage of the work.
Yeah.
And the people,
which is common, right?
It's common in every church. But if you go down the list of the people that serve at Heights, a lot of them are not just serving in one ministry. They're serving in three or four. And anytime you and I get on stage and say, we need more people to serve, guess who volunteers?
They sign up for
the
another.
Same people. It's not the people who aren't. I think the other thing too that I would just say, and it when it comes to this is we might not have the exact thing that you want to do when it comes to serving, but we have opportunities for you to serve.
Yeah.
So you, again, I think I said this in a message a while ago, is we're too busy giving God our plans instead of giving him our hands. Yep. And we say, God, I will serve you if I do this, this, and this, but not, well, that's not what we do. That's not the structure of what we do when it comes to our youth ministry or our guest services or our kids ministry. So you can't tell us what you, how you want to serve. Instead, step into what God has already got in front of you say, I'm willing to do something that I'm not sure if I would, would personally sign up to do, but I'm doing it in this sense of we are for serving.
Yeah. It takes me back to this weekend and I have written, and I never got to it, but I have written on the side of my notebook, that the meal provided an opportunity. So Jesus's generosity in having that meal, that provided the opportunity for him to get down and serve. But he didn't serve at the, okay, I got a meal and it's an opportunity, so let me pick the role that I want. He took the role that nobody wanted. And which ties into what you're saying, like if our heart is to serve, then just serve. and just jump in where you're needed.
Yeah.
And let God take care. That's probably, if I was giving advice, that's the advice I would give, is let God take care of where that takes you to.
Yeah.
God knows your heart, but maybe he wants to create in you first and foremost a genuine heart just to serve versus in an area that I feel I'm valuable.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Well, we had an incredible weekend for the Holy Spirit, for generosity, for serving. Excited to continue next week to know what else are we for?
Next week, we got more coming. Two more weeks.
It's good stuff. Well, we do have one more question that we want to hop into and talk about today. We had somebody write in and really just want to express gratitude for us. Before he gets to his question, he was saying, man, I'm just so grateful for the Christmas experience, for Christmas Eve, for how the services were. He'd moved here recently with his family and just was so excited to be a part
of
that. And then again, more praise. He loved that we get to kick off the new year with the Taking Shape collection, and special shout out to the worship team, loving the new song that they did.
Dude, it's so good.
It's so good. It's so exciting. I woke up with it
in my head today.
It's a good thing to have in your head.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's so good.
So good. Well, then Chris finally gets to asking his question. Chris, thank you so much for writing in with all that. He says, as I study the Bible with friends, a question came up about God's nature between Old and New Testaments. I answered the question, but I would love to hear your thoughts on it. Why does God seem so different in the Old Testament, where he's focused on rules and wrath, compared to the New Testament, where he's focused on love and grace?
Chris, I would first say that's phenomenal that you have captured the insight that that exists. Because like, if you read the two, like that can easily be missed, right? Like, it can feel like two different stories. But to connect those and go, hey, why is there a difference between these two? I think for me, the difference again matters to context. And so if you follow the and put it into a grand narrative, God never changes in all of it. Grace is still grace, right? Like if he was really holding them to the letter of the law, they should have been wiped off the face of the earth, right? Like instead, he walks with them in grace, gives them opportunity, gives them mercy when they don't deserve it. I think you look at the law, and the law was designed to give us a picture to understand who God is, right? To understand his holiness. Without the law, we wouldn't understand how holy God actually is and how different from us, right? Mm-hmm. I think James says it's a mirror that it helps us understand. And I think for us, the idea of the Old Testament being, you see God and what he, this is just a hot take from me. I wouldn't put like Heights theology on this. This is something I've been personally processing. But I think when you look at how God dealt with nations around them, he was looking to exist with them. And to exist with them, he had to remove everything that was not of his people. And so there's this part where the only way that happened was by war. And so I think the picture he's trying to get us to see is how holy he is and how he can't be in the presence of. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be honest, my brain doesn't really comprehend that. But I think when you look at what happened, it does feel so different than when you get to the new. And it's like, for God so loved the world that we talked about this weekend, right? That he gave. And there's this abundant grace and this abundant mercy and forgiveness. And I think for me, when you look at it as a whole story, God's never changed in that whole story, but what he's doing and how he's showing himself and how he's walking with us, that's what changes along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say when you look at the narrative of scripture, the time, we have the opportunity to look back at a large chunk of time. The Old Testament, from the time of Adam and Eve to the time Jesus showed up, is more time than the time Jesus showed up till now.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Yep.
I mean, way, way more. And so I think, you know, in 6,000 years from now, you're able to look back and go, okay, now I have the full picture of the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, when Jesus returns.
Yeah.
The reason I say that is the God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's one of the things he mentioned earlier in his question is, you know, if God is the same, then why do we see a change?
Yeah.
I don't think that we see a change because we look at the Old Testament and go, okay, God was more focused on wrath. God was more focused on justice, if you will. Well, the same God is just as just now.
Right.
Just as, just now. A lot of just words as, there. Just now. His justice is the same, which means there is judgment also coming. And we know that in the book of Revelation, we know that that's going to unfold, that he is coming back that way.
Yep.
So I think that you can't exclusively say, well, it's only focused on grace here. Well, no, justice is coming. And we just don't have the opportunity to look back on the chunk of time that we do when it comes to the Old Testament.
That's good.
So I think that God is the same yesterday, today, forever, meaning his qualities are eternal.
Yeah.
So God is forever just. He's forever gracious. He's forever holy.
Yeah.
Again, in the Old Testament, we got to see his holiness play out in a way that built a basis for a theology of God.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue to see how that plays out now. We don't have the end of the story yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think to your point, like you go all the way back to Genesis, right? And people often see God removing them from the garden, right? That feels harsh. It was grace, because had they gone back to the tree of life, they'd be stuck that way forever. Mm-hmm. And so he removes them as a protection to them. And I think when you slow down and look at the Old Testament through the lens of the character of God, kind of like we did with Center of All Things, we look for Jesus, right? But if you went, okay, I'm going to take the lens of grace and I'm going to read the whole Bible and I'm going to circle and highlight every time grace shows up, it'll be all over the Old Testament. Right? Like it won't just be the new. Or if you're going to go, okay, God is the judge, it's going to be just as much in the New Testament and in Revelation as it is within the Old Testament, right? And so I think sometimes we only see things through the lens we want to see it through versus slowing down and going, okay, what is the character and nature that I know to be true, that same yesterday, today, and forever? What are those things and how did they show up?
Yeah.
And I think it would give you a different perspective than we only see wrath here and we only see love here.
Yeah. And instead of contrasting old and new too, just think of it as one story. And Jesus is the fulfillment of a lot of things we see in the old. It's not a change. It's a continuation with Jesus being, it was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Well, he arrives in the new.
Yeah.
It's one story.
Yeah. Pastor Bob and I were talking and I actually in the conversation said this line, like, I wonder if this story exists just for us to go, same God. And it was Ananias and Sapphira when they come in, I think it's Acts 5, it's right around there. And they come in and, you know, they're withholding money.
Yeah.
And it's like, why'd you lie to the Holy Spirit? And drops dead. Wife comes in. Is this the amount? Well, you're now going to join your husband who's over there. Drops. It's like, It there's no other story like it. And Pastor Bob and I were talking about that because he was looking into it on his own. Like it just caught his attention. And I just wonder if there's some of those moments where it's God showing, I'm sure there's more to it and we can unpack that, but on a simplistic level going, man, it's the same God. He still values the same things and how that plays out then. But I agree with you, looking at it as one story changes everything drastically.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thanks for asking that question.
Great question.
Great job wrestling with these things. This is a very real question that many people have when it comes to God and scripture and the Bible and all of that. So keep them coming. If you have a question for us, please submit those. You can submit those by emailing us unedited@heightschurch.com or by sending us a DM, direct message.
A DM.
On any of our social media platforms, you can DM us.
So what would the comment on YouTube be? That we're going to read now.
The comment on YouTube. I don't know. I'll have to look those up too. The ones we'll pay attention. I'll have to look up.
I don't know what we call those.
Caution though, just so you know, if you have a question and you've written it in the comments, submit it by email. That would be a better way to get it answered because.
unedited@heightschurch.com.
Oh, that's good. If you've made it to the end of the podcast club, you're here for one reason and one reason only.
Bam, 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 bam.
There it is. You heard it. You waited this long just to hear that. In fact, we have gotten emails that said, please don't actually get a sound because I want to hear
so John bad. Do that's that every right week. That's right up there so. With PJ.
It's actually incredible. It makes our show what it is. This is unedited, folks. But we are so glad that you joined with us today.
Yes.
I want to remind you again to subscribe, to follow, rate, review, and we would love to read your 5-star review on the show.
Absolutely.
And if it's less than a 5-star review, we'll still read it too. But go
we'll
ahead
still read it.
And do that.
We'll still read it.
You can put it in there as well. We haven't got any hate yet. I'd love
some people did
to.
Say they want merch, by the way.
A lot of people actually said they want merch.
So the beard's got to help us with.
Not only have we got emails, we got tons of comments. We got people coming up in person telling us. We have people coming up with ideas to design merch. You apparently have released a whole bunch of designers out there to come to us.
We should do is hold a competition for merch. Give us your design.
Oh.
We'll give you a mug.
There we go. Who gets to pick the design?
The beard.
So we just put it on him. Hey, you need more work in your life, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being with us. Final thought for you before we head out. How this week can you invite the Holy Spirit in and lean into him by saying, I am for the Holy Spirit, and then allowing him to prompt you when it comes to being generous with what God has given you?
That's good. You're surprised. I hope people are surprised at the spaces that the Holy Spirit wants to speak into.
I hope so too. I pray that for my life as well. Yeah. I hope.
Because we just make it churchy often. I hope he surprises you with like something way out of your box.
Yep. Break that box. Break that church box.
Break it down.
That should be, if we started another podcast, that would be the name. Break that church box. All right. Well, we're done. That's all we got. You guys are awesome.
Love you guys.
Bye.